The reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 19, verses 23 to 30. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Jesus said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
When Kevin did the reading, concluded with a question from the disciples, didn't it? Which I could summarize as, what's in it for me? You know, the last couple of weeks, if you've been here, the sermons have been a little on the heavy side. 2 weeks ago, I talked about battling bullies and how a prophet talked about battling bullies. Last week, I talked about Jeremiah and his woes over being a prophet. Time to lighten up! A prophet's reward. What is in it for the rest of us? For those who follow? We're going to look at the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading at the 14th verse. If you've been studying Zephaniah in your Sunday school class, you talk about a heavy book. Chapter 1, I'm going to sweep everything off the face of the earth. Fun and games. Don't you love this God? Keep him away from me, you know? Let me tell you how the story ends. Zephaniah 3, starting at verse 14. "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, 'Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at the time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, how neat it is that you rejoice in your people. Help us to see you having that good time with us. In Jesus' name, amen. This book, which begins with God sweeping away everything from the face of the earth, ends with God singing. Does that sound crazy? Okay, does that sound a little bipolar? Think about it. But notice how this begins in verse 16. I'm going to only be looking at 16 and 17. Yeah, only two verses, so we'll get out of here. God begins by saying, you know, "Fear not, don't be afraid." Yes, I'm a God of judgment. Yes, I will punish sin. But if you're following me, you have nothing to be afraid of. Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. I'm with you. Now, remember how at the beginning it says, the great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud here, Zephaniah 1:14. This is not a God you want to draw near. And God says, I'm in your midst. You know, you have different attitudes about someone being near. I mean, imagine yourself in school. All right? Let's go back to school. And you're the straight A student, right? The one who's always well behaved. They made a special honor roll just for you. How do you feel when the principal walks in the room? Confident? Got it together? World's looking good? Maybe he's going to give me another award? Right? Now, change the story. And you are the bad boy or the bad girl, the one who's always throwing the spit wads, the one who is in trouble 97% of the time. You have counted the tiles in the principal's office. You've been there so much. The principal walks in the room. How do you feel? Not so good. God is in your presence. How do you feel? Yeah, you see? It all depends on where you stand. It all depends on who you are. And God is saying to Jerusalem, you know, I really got down on you. I got down on you big time in chapters 1 and 2. And I did. I'm turning it around. Fear not. Don't be afraid. I'm on your team. And I'm working with you. I'm going to give it a whole new meaning. When God actually came into humanity's midst, what name was he given in Matthew? It's in the notes, so you can cheat. Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know the neat thing about Matthew's gospel is it begins with Emmanuel, God with us. You know how it ends? Matthew 28, verse 20. Surely I am what? With you to the very end of the age. I start with you. I end with you. I go on with you. I want to read you something from the tail end of the book. I'm going to do a spoiler here from the last chapter. Not the last chapter, but the last book. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. I'm changing the whole story. And I have that in store for those who know me, for those who love me, for those who want to be with me, for those who smile when they hear Emmanuel, God with you, God beside you. Someone greater than the principal walked in the room. But you weren't confident in yourself. You were confident because the principal's son died for me and rose again. God says, I am with you. Now, remember when God says, I am with you, you know who he's saying that to? He's saying that to me, and you know what I was? I was the bad boy in the class. I was trouble. And he looks at me and he says, I want to be with you. Fear not. I really like being with you. That to me doesn't make any sense. But that's an amazing love that is true. How can he do that? How can he want to be with me? Well, you look at verse 17. At the end of verse 17. He is a mighty one who will save. He is mighty to save. I rescued you. I pulled you out of the hole you dug for yourself. NIV says mighty to save. NIV says mighty to save. And other Hebrew translations can say a warrior or a hero. You know, to create the universe, God spoke, right? Let there be, and there it was. To create life, what did He do? He breathed. But when that life rebelled, to save it, he had to bleed. Saving you was harder than creating the universe. How about that? And you know what? He did it. In His Son, who came, who died, and who rose again. And now, here's the crazy thing, the really nutsy thing. God wants to enjoy you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. He begins with celebration, goes to meditation, and then to jubilation. If that's not bipolar, what is? He's all these things at once. He's crazy nuts in love with you. And He takes quiet time. And this is the neat part. This is the only verse in the Bible that says God sings. How many here are singers? You see the singers. Okay. I want you to imagine for just a moment. You're standing before God. And He says, Susan, come here. I want to do a duet with you. I got a part that's just right for you. I'm going to put you on the French horn. I want you. I got a part that's just right for you. You've never sung? God says, that's okay. I'll fix that. You're not a singer? I want you in the choir. I'm going to turn this whole thing around. And I'm going to celebrate you. Wait a minute, God. No. I feel like John the Baptist, when Jesus came up to him and Jesus says, you know, baptize me, John, and John says, flag on the play, Jesus, that is not going to work. You should be baptizing me. You're the Holy Son of God. I'm the scum of the earth. I'm a sinner just like everyone else around here. Everyone but you, that is. You should be baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, John, that's not how it's going to work. I need you to do this. When you stand before God, you say, God, wait a minute. No, no, you shouldn't be celebrating me. I'm supposed to be celebrating you. Don't you get it? Tell God He doesn't get it sometimes. See how far that goes. Don't you understand, God? I'll celebrate you. You can't celebrate me. God says, oh, yes, I can. And I will. What's in it for me? God gets to celebrate me. That doesn't make any sense. I say it, and it sounds absurd. It slaps me in the face just saying it to you. But it's true. That when you receive His grace, when you receive His mercy, when you receive what Jesus gave you by dying for you, by bleeding on the cross for you, by being beaten for you, by being mocked, by being spit at, by having His beard pulled out, when you think that if when you receive the grace that gives you and the mercy that gives you, God celebrates you. Can anyone wrap your mind around that? I was listening to a sermon this week and it was so powerful to me. I had listened to it twice. And it was called Never Lose the Wonder. I don't have to preach it to you, do I? Wrap your mind for 1 second around a God who sent His Son to be brutally beaten so that you could be saved, so that you could at least squeak into heaven, and God celebrates that. And when you get your mind wrapped around it, would you come up here and explain it to me, because I am lost. What's in it for me is God's smile. And if I say that's a trillion times more than I deserve, I'm undercutting it. God loves His kids so much. He sent the one special one to endure everything to get them all back. God is bound and determined to get His family back. If at this time you're not part of that family, or you're not sure you are, and you would like to be, there are lots of people here who would love to sit down with you, open a Bible, and help you. Maybe God has spoken to you about your need to take that one step and say, Jesus, I want to be someone you died for. I want to receive your gift.